Hey, it's Pablo. I am just taking a day off, don't be scared. But with a sport that I'm admittedly not the most educated on being all over the news and the playoffs coming right up, we decided to pull up the Zamboni and turn things over to our good friends and resident hockey experts, Greg Wyshynski and Emily Kaplan. Enjoy.
McDavid, Draisaitl shoots, scores! Draisaitl scores! But the torch is being passed on from one drink to the next. The century mark in just 53 games for Connor McDavid!
It's been a hockey season like no other. A 56-game schedule, realignment, divisional play changing the shape of the NHL, COVID messing with team schedules, and the league grappling with its identity.
Now, the playoffs are right in front of us. The battle for Lord Stanley's Cup is about to start, and we could get a cup matchup that we've never seen before.
I'm Greg Wyshynski.
I'm Emily Kaplan, and today we're taking center ice while Pablo Torre, he's a healthy scratch.
It's Monday, May 10th.
And it's a National Hockey League edition of ESPN Daily.
Presented by UKG. Our purpose is people.
Hey, Emily.
Hey, Greg.
So we've decided to take over the daily today to talk hockey. We actually threw Pablo in the penalty box. He's serving a misconduct, but I believe he'll be back tomorrow.
He is in the box. He does feel shame, but he is day to day.
Emily, it's been an NHL season where most of the drama has surrounded COVID-related absences and postponed games. So there was a weird sense of normalcy when there was a soap opera surrounding the New York Rangers and Washington Capitals, including forward Tom Wilson, about on-ice violence and NHL player safety controversy, you know, comfort food. Emily, how did the Tom Wilson fiasco start?
Oh boy, where to begin? It was a week ago on Monday when the Rangers played the Caps, and things got testy.
Here's Panarin down low for Buchnevich. He was tied up. Oh, Van Riemsdyk with a terrific play on Buchnevich. Now they're pounding Buchnevich on the ice.
There was a battle for the puck. Wilson and Rangers player Pavel Buchnevich fall down on the ice. Wilson punched Pavel Buchnevich in the back of his head. That's a big no-no. And then some melee ensued.
Now Wilson's throwing punches.
He went after Buchnevich.
Oh, boy.
Now Wilson.
This is ridiculous.
Panarin.
What is Wilson doing?
And the Rangers after the game were furious and said that Wilson crossed the line.
Yeah, well, we all saw it. And there are lines that can't be crossed in this game. And it's just, to me, it's just zero respect for the game in general.
So tell us a bit about Tom Wilson. Like, why is he such a lightning rod of controversy in this league?
Yeah, Wilson has a rap sheet, which makes him one of the league's most polarizing players, especially amongst fans. His reputation's actually a bit better. He's absolutely beloved in the Caps locker room. And I know he has friends all across the NHL. There are some players, though, that do think he plays a little dirty.
It's usually his...
Oh! Wilson, crush, kill, destroy on Zadorov.
But the thing about Tom Wilson is that he's a skilled player, but he's asked to play on the edge as a protector of Ovi or Nick Backstrom et al., if you will. And he toes that line for sure.
But the reason this was such a controversial play is because Tom Wilson was involved in it. This is a player that's been suspended 5 times in the National Hockey League. So every single time he gets involved in a situation where there is a dangerous play, or in this case, according to the Rangers, an injurious play, as Panarin was shut down for the rest of the season, the fans and the critics look at Tom Wilson and say, something must be done about this guy. He gets a couple of roughing penalties. He gets a 10-minute misconduct. He actually returns to the game in the third period and scores a goal, which is just a pound of salt in the wound if you're the Rangers. He only gets a fine of $5,000 from the National Hockey League for the punch on Buchnevich, does not get suspended by the NHL. So what happened next?
Well, first, I just want to say why he didn't get suspended, because I did talk to the Department of Player Safety, and I think this is a big disconnect for fans. They don't quite get it. And so basically he said that fall on the ice that I described, that wasn't much. The punch is what earned him the fine. But everything after that, the NHL views as guys just wrestling, something that happens every night. And the Rangers went scorched earth. They issued a statement on Tuesday calling for the NHL's head of player safety, George Parros, to step down, saying they believe he is, quote, unfit to continue in his current role. And if you're wondering, who is this guy, George Parros? He's a former enforcer himself who has more than 1,000 penalty minutes in 474 career games.
And he's also somebody that comes under a bit of controversy. The Department of Player Safety was founded by the NHL less than a decade ago. And it was founded in order to dole out suspensions to players, but also as a way to re-educate them on the right way to hit and the right way to play.
Mm-hmm.
When the Department of Player Safety started, there were massive suspensions. And eventually, the National Hockey League Players Association actually collectively bargained into the NHL CBA a mechanism where if the suspension is 6 games or more, they can appeal it and get it knocked down. So Parros has become a bit of a target for critics because there haven't been a lot of lengthy suspensions under his watch.
When you talk to the NHL, they say, well, the reason we hired George Parros is, like you said, because he's someone who has been in those situations and he can help explain how and why they happen and then also relate to players and talk to them. And I do think it's very important to note, Tom Wilson and George Parros have a relationship because Parros has had to reach out to him and talk to him about how he cannot get suspended. So anyways, this is not the end of it for the Rangers' perspective, in case you were curious, because a day after they released that statement, they go out and they fire their president, John Davidson, and their GM, Jeff Gorton. This is just the cherry on top after a pretty rough season for the Rangers, one after having the number one overall pick in the draft. Like, I know we have the rights now, and it's such an easy joke, but this Rangers season should probably be a 30 for 30.
And then, of course, the cherry on top of the cherry, the whipped cream on top of the cherry, if you will, Emily, is the fact that Wednesday night's game against the Capitals, the first played after the Tom Wilson fiasco, was an absolute gong show.
Hathaway, they combined for 2 goals, 3 assists.
Here we go.
Right off the faceoff, 3 fights simultaneously.
There were 6 fights in the first 4 minutes and 14 seconds of the game. We see this happen in the NHL after an injurious play where the teams meet again. Maybe the player that injured a star player didn't get his comeuppance from the NHL, so the team feels like it needs to take matters into its own hands. So we normally see some fights at the beginning of the game, and then we see the big showdown with public enemy number one. And in this case, it was Brendan Smith fighting Tom Wilson for having injured Artemi Panarin.
And now we got another fight going here as Daniel Carr and Tom Wilson will engage and get into a fight here with Brendan Smith. It is fight night in New York.
But once we got to like fight number 5 and fight number 6, and once we got to Pavel Buzhnevich cross-checking Anthony Mantha in the face, it kind of started to seem a little bit different than these usual revenge games. At first, I thought it was because the Rangers were trying to sort of show up the NHL and be like, oh yeah, you're not going to take care of business? Well, we're going to turn your nationally televised game into an absolute mess by fighting all over the place in the first period. But after talking to some people around the Rangers, I get the sense that that statement that James Dolan put out, which targeted the National Hockey League, was also a clarion call to the team to show their toughness. And if you look at the folks that fought against the Capitals in that quote-unquote revenge game, a lot of them were the guys that are looking for contracts next year.
I just want to put into context how extraordinary that statement was. Teams do not typically call people out like name like that when they don't agree with a punishment. Gary Bettman typically has his owners and teams all on the same page. It's rare to see anyone speak out against the league or any of their decisions. And Greg, if there's one thing Gary Bettman is obsessed with, it's parody. We know this to be true. He loves all of his children equally. That said, I do think this is significant that this was an original six franchise, one that Forbes rates as the most valuable in the NHL, that went so public here.
And so on Thursday, the NHL had their say after the Rangers had their say, coming down with a $250,000 fine against the Rangers, including a strongly worded statement that said, quote, "It's terribly unfair to question George Parros' professionalism and dedication to his role in the Department of Player Safety." So what do we make of the NHL in this situation? Are they saying that on-ice thuggery is acceptable and part of the game, but bad-mouthing the league won't be tolerated?
Well, some people could read it like that, and you know what? I think I read it like that. The league wants these matters resolved on the ice, and not in a war of words. You know, the thing that I find interesting about it is we're entering the new TV deal with ESPN. The game is more skilled and faster than it's ever been. Fighting is down, hits are down. But unfortunately, these are the stories that still get mainstream attention. You know, I've joked, but it's true. I feel like I've had more ESPN appearances in the last week than I had in my first 2 years at the network combined. But I don't want to be talking about this. I wanted to be talking to you guys about Connor McDavid's absurd dominance, the Carolina Hurricanes, the Florida Panthers, Cole Caulfield. I wish I could actually be telling you about Pavel Buchnevich having a breakout season, but instead we have to talk about the fact that he got suspended one game for retaliation at a cross check in that Wednesday night rematch. And I think that's the shame of it all.
There's no question that from the moment Tom Wilson threw Panarin to the ice through the NHL statement, this was the conversation in the world of hockey. And I just wish that some of the energy that we saw put forth in analyzing every frame of Tom Wilson's fiasco with the Rangers a week ago, I wish some of that energy was put into maybe trying to identify and change the systems that are in place that make the Department of Player Safety a source of criticism. But as they say in the NHL, no soap operas, just hockey. After the break, we'll get you set up for the end of what has been a very strange season.
And a unique chase for Lord Stanley's Cup.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured, it was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky. 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Okay, Greg, let's give everyone a quick refresher on how the NHL playoffs are even going to work. Like, what are we looking at here?
Well, because of the pandemic, the NHL actually scrambled up its teams this season, realigning them into four new divisions. And it was a monolithic schedule. Those teams and those divisions only played each other. So you didn't get Montreal and Toronto playing Boston. You got Montreal and Toronto playing each other like 8 or 9 times. The way the playoffs are going to work is that the first two rounds are going to be held within these individual divisions, and then the winners of all four divisions will advance to the championship semifinals. The wrinkle this year is that it's not like Eastern Conference versus Western Conference. They're going to take those four teams and reseed them based on their regular season points percentage, so 1 versus 4, 2 versus 3, and then the winners of those two games will then play for the Stanley Cup. What makes that exciting, to go back to, say, the Toronto versus Boston example, is there is a chance that Toronto and Boston could play for the Stanley Cup this season.
And what about where these games are going to be held? Because the reason they did this North Division to keep all these teams in Canada is because the border remains closed for non-essential business. So once the Canadian teams duel it out and figure out who's going to emerge, then what happens?
It's a great question, and we don't know the answer quite yet. We know what the NHL wants the answer to be, which is that the Canadian government gives them a special dispensation to have the Canadian division champion travel to and from the United States, have one of the U.S. teams travel to and from Canada, and be able to do so without having there to be a quarantine. So it's less about the public safety aspect of this decision for the Canadian government when it comes to the border than it is the optics of it. You know, Canada is still on lockdown in a lot of ways. So the idea that the Canadian government is going to give a special dispensation to professional hockey teams when others are still, you know, not being able to travel outside the country or travel back into the country without a long quarantine is a tough pill to swallow, I think, at this point.
Right. So if they don't get that government exemption, the plan will be to relocate that Canadian team temporarily to a city in the U.S. It's probably going to be an NHL arena just because that's easier for the NHL to stage games in. They know what the back end looks like. But scheduling is going to be interesting because the NBA playoffs are still going on. There is a Justin Bieber world tour, believe it or not, that they've got to have to schedule around. But I want to go back into those divisional matchups because these teams have really gotten to know each other over the past season. Let's take a closer look at each of the division's identities heading into the playoffs. And come on. East Coast bias. Let's start with the East. Is that division any good?
Sort of. You know, I think the top four teams in that division might be the most closely packed and similar. Pittsburgh, Washington, Boston, and the New York Islanders. To me, any of those teams could logically advance from the East Division. It's going to be a brutal playoff. One of the teams I'm really interested in are the Boston Bruins.
Centered, Krejci, pull and drag, shoots, he scores! That was a gorgeous goal! Pull and drag, he goes top shelf, 4-3 Bruins!
Now, I don't think they're quite as good as the Bruins teams that we've seen in the past, but they became a lot more dangerous after the trade deadline by acquiring star left wing Taylor Hall. Hall was with the Buffalo Sabres. He signed there for 1 year to get $8 million out of him. The Sabres gave him a full no movement clause. The Sabres were bad, so they wanted to trade Taylor Hall. And Taylor Hall is like, that's a great idea.
I need to play well. I need to contribute. And most of all, I want to be a part of a team that wins games. And
so Taylor Hall has a chance to audition for a new contract with the Boston Bruins.
At the high slot, Pastrnak gets it back. Sends Hall over the line left side, into the far circle. Shoots, he scores! Taylor Hall with the big celebration! His first as a...
While also solidifying a second scoring line for them behind their top line that features Brad Marchand, Patrice Bergeron, and David Pastrnak. You combine that with some of the best goaltending in the league, and the Boston Bruins could be a very, very potent team, I think, in the postseason.
All right, moving on. You know, I said East Coast bias, but I'm technically a Central Coast bias right now. I'm a Midwest girl. I live in Chicago. This division, though, has been so inconsistent. How would you characterize it?
It's wild. It's a division where you could easily have two teams as primary Stanley Cup contenders if they're healthy and they play up to standards. One of them is the Carolina Hurricanes, who, for my money, are one of the more complete teams in this league. They're coached by Rod the Bod Brind'Amour, probably a guy who's in better shape than 90% of the players in this league.
I just want to pause.
Yes.
Rod Brind'Amour does the preseason conditioning test for his players just for fun. And I was told his scores would be good enough to make the roster. Continue on.
Absolutely. And so the Hurricanes are a team that really balances offense and defense quite well. Through 54 games, they had a plus 50 goal differential. They've been kind of building up to this moment for the last few seasons. They've got a collection of great young offensive players. They're the kind of team that defensively you can look up and be like, holy smokes, my team hasn't gotten a shot on goal against these guys in 10 minutes because they play that well from a puck possession standpoint. So that's one team to look for. The other team is the Tampa Bay Lightning. Now, you may remember them from last postseason because they lifted the cup at the end of it as the Stanley Cup champion.
Time ticks down! The Lightning with the Stanley Cup! They have reached the top of the mountain! They are the Stanley Cup champs!
Now, the Lightning bring back most of that roster, and they were able to bring back most of that roster because Nikita Kucherov, a former MVP, missed the entire regular season after preseason surgery. They were able to put his massive contract on long-term injured reserve. By not having Kucherov for this season, they were able to keep the team together. Now, the salary cap doesn't count for the postseason. So they keep the team together, they make the playoffs without Kucherov, playoffs start. Oh, look who's back. It's Nikita Kucherov, one of the best players in the world, rejoining the Tampa Bay Lightning in the first round, as is injured star Steven Stamkos in theory. So the Lightning are definitely a team to watch as a potential repeat champion.
Tell me, though, what are the chances we're going to get a Battle of Florida?
Yes, the odds are good that the Florida Panthers and the Tampa Bay Lightning will face each other in the postseason for the first time. They haven't met in the playoffs ever, despite being division rivals and state neighbors. And that dates back all the way to the early 1990s when these two teams entered the league as expansion franchises.
The story for me with the Florida Panthers, though, it's goaltending. It's a fascinating situation they've got brewing because you've got Sergei Bobrovsky, who is the highest paid goaltender in the NHL, but has kind of underperformed since he got that long-term contract with the Florida Panthers. And then they signed their top prospect, a kid they drafted in the first round, very rare for goalies these days, Spencer Knight. He comes from Boston College, and he is precocious. He came in, he did really well in his first couple starts. They're really bullish on him. I talked to him on the phone a couple weeks ago. Sounds a lot like Trevor Lawrence in football says, you know, hockey doesn't define me. And once you can get that, you can see things clearly. So I'm curious to see how things shake out there. But okay, I said Central Coast, Best Coast. I understand there's no coast here. We just have Lake Michigan. But there is a West Coast. And as a former West Coast resident, would you agree? West Coast, Best Coast. And when it comes to goaltending, defense, and penalty kill anyway.
Yeah, for those things, absolutely. For pizza and bagels, now that I'm back in Brooklyn, absolutely not. This division is going to be super fun. So for the majority of the season, hockey fans have been anticipating this sort of Kong versus Godzilla matchup between the Vegas Golden Knights and the Colorado Avalanche. Two incredibly talented teams with a bunch of star players, and it looked like that these two teams were going to duke it out. And then here come the Minnesota Wild.
As Minnesota answers right back with a good sequence. Dumba creates space, sets up Foligno. His shot scores! Marcus Foligno with a bullet! Minnesota!
Like Mecha Godzilla, getting right inside this matchup between these two Titans. And they're a team that is going to be very intriguing to watch. As it stands, they might play the Colorado Avalanche in the first round. They have the odds-on favorite to win Rookie of the Year, and Kirill Kaprizov.
Now Kirill Kaprizov wraps it around, and he scores. And it's 3-1. What a move and what a shift by the soon-to-be Calder Trophy winner.
A player who has energized them offensively.
We got a tie ball game.
They score right off the draw! Kaprizov again! It's his 26th, and the Wild are in front!
The Minnesota Wild for years were a team that evoked memories of neutral zone trap hockey and defensive style. And right now, they are the darling of the league as far as offensive flourish. The Vegas Golden Knights, who have had designs on winning a Stanley Cup since they entered the league, are most likely going to play the St. Louis Blues in the first round of the playoffs. It's an intriguing matchup for several reasons, including the fact that these two teams like to bludgeon each other. But mostly it's because Alex Pietrangelo, who was a captain and star defenseman for the Blues, is now on the Golden Knights, having gone there as a free agent last offseason because the Blues didn't want to give him the contract he was looking for. So a little bit of a sidebar soap opera drama to that matchup as well.
All right, finally, where the game of hockey all began, where the most media is concentrated, where you've heard the most about if you live in Canada. Who is the king of the North?
The problem with the North Division is this. It's all about the Toronto Maple Leafs, which angers the rest of Canada to no end. But honestly, you look at this team and how good they are. Auston Matthews.
Matthews closing with a shot. Scores! Under the glove of Koskinen. And Auston Matthews has restored the Toronto lead.
One of the best goal scorers the National Hockey League has seen since the heyday of Mario Lemieux. Mitch Marner, John Tavares, a collection of veteran players all seeking Stanley Cups, including the delightful Joe Thornton. All of that adds up to them being one of the best teams in hockey. But they're also the Maple Leafs, which means that we have to prepare ourselves for how they're going to mess this up in the playoffs.
But then when we emerge to the semifinals, do we know what's going to happen? Because no one's played each other outside the division.
No, that's what makes it so exciting. We as fans and we as media don't really know what these matchups look like between these teams because of the fact that they've only played within their own divisions this year. It makes it very, very exciting.
When we come back, we'll catch you up to speed on the MVP race and share a few under-the-radar hockey stories that we think you should know about.
Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, Greg, we've covered controversy, the new divisions, and the playoffs. And now it is time to talk trophies. The Hart Trophy, or the NHL's regular season MVP. So, Greg, make your case for why it's a Connor McDavid or bust.
Yeah, if you don't vote for Connor McDavid as MVP, you're probably from Pittsburgh or Boston and voting for Sidney Crosby or Brad Marchand. You know, you got to give that local love. But there's no reason why you shouldn't be voting for Connor McDavid. McDavid is, of course, the star player for the Edmonton Oilers and a guy who does things on the ice that we've simply never seen anybody else do.
Here's McDavid all the way! Scores!
He terrorizes opposing defensemen.
Here comes McDavid the other way. Splits defenders to the net. Wrist shot, score! Connor McDavid coast to coast!
He pulls moves on goaltenders that leaves them literally undressed on the ice.
Contact, drive, settle inside. McDavid, quick shot, score!
I have seen multiple times in watching Connor McDavid play in the National Hockey League in which he breaks down an opposing team's defense in such a way that opposing defensemen just stand there and shrug afterwards.
Hanifin stripped to the puck. Here's Connor McDavid driving in. McDavid looking, shooting, scoring! Connor McDavid!
And he's having one of the finest offensive seasons we've seen in decades. McDavid, through 52 games this season, had a points per game average of 1.85. That's better than Mario Lemieux's legendary season in 2000-2001 when he returned from cancer treatment to play 43 games and post a 1.77 points per game average. McDavid has been an absolute master this season offensively. He's doing things that we've never seen another offensive player do in decades, and he's very deserving of the MVP award this season.
Greg, a guy that's not going to win the Hart Trophy this season, but he is going to win an award, and it's not one that we vote on, he just earned it, is Auston Matthews. He is about to become the first American since Keith Tkachuk to win the goal-scoring crown.
Marner, across, Matthews scores, and the beat goes on.
Auston Matthews has more than 40 goals right now, and his goals per game rate is the highest that we've seen since Lemieux in 1996. It's actually never been a greater time for American hockey. A lot of these players are from and born in America, but they're still the old guard, Greg. And Sidney Crosby and Alex Ovechkin are still around, still leading their teams, and still could win another Stanley Cup each. And of course, in the context of that is Ovechkin continues to chase Wayne Gretzky's all-time goals record, which he probably will.
Yeah, he's also chasing Sidney Crosby's Stanley Cups wins, too. I mean, that's the other thing, right? Like, Sid's got 3. Ovi's only got 1 in the perpetual Magic versus Bird rivalry that those two have had for the last 15 years. Sid the Kid, a kid in name only. He's turning 34 in August. Both he and Ovechkin are maybe past their peak as players, but they're both players that you root for in the postseason because you just want to see them excel as much as they can before we may have to say goodbye to them in a few years. But Emily, if there's one thing I'm intrigued by in this Stanley Cup playoff, it's the Vegas Golden Knights. I kind of pull for them because their owner, Bill Foley, has pumped so much money into making that franchise one of the single most successful on and off the ice in the league. I love the fact that the Vegas Golden Knights are the team that the community rallies around in Las Vegas, no offense to the Raiders. And maybe more than anything, Emily, I would just love to see what a Stanley Cup parade looks like down the strip, wouldn't you?
I would too. I would love to see it after the pandemic is over, but I digress. But something that's interesting about the Vegas Golden Knights is they made the Stanley Cup final in their first season of existence, which totally recalibrated how we view expansion teams and our expectations for them. And now, coming into next season, we're about to have another expansion team, the Seattle Kraken.
Two things I'm looking forward to with the Kraken. First of all, I think they're going to be the beneficiary of the fact that the National Hockey League is going to have a flat salary cap due to the pandemic economy and the fact that they're going to lose so much money this season by not having fans in the stands. I think you're going to see teams being more aggressive in trying to land their high-salaried players that they want off their rosters with the Kraken through any means necessary. And I'm also interested to see how many players are willing to waive their no movement clauses to free them up for the expansion draft. So it will be very interesting to see, now that these players have seen the experience of their peers with the Vegas Golden Knights, how many will angle to try to become members of the inaugural group of Seattle Kraken.
It's cool to be a Kraken. Firstly, they've got the name, they've got the logo, they've got the colors. But their arena, which is named Climate Pledge Arena, is going to be one of the most environmentally friendly arenas we have ever seen in North America. Net zero waste, a lot of cool initiatives there. They've also planned to incorporate a lot of the local fabric of Seattle. You're going to hear some grunge rock, in the fabric of the arena, and maybe as part of their goal celebrations or pregame music. I've been told to expect the unexpected, so I'm curious to see what it's going to look like, and I'd love to be there for opening night.
The Kraken are totally going to take over that town and be an absolute sensation until the NBA comes back. Anyway, that's the way that the NHL looks. That's what to look forward to in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Emily, as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
I'm Emily Kaplan.
I'm Greg Wyshynski.
And this has been ESPN Daily.
And don't worry, Pablo will talk to you tomorrow.